great pleasure to hand over to the first of tonight's speakers, who is Antonia.
Hi, my name is Antonia. I'm an addict.
Hi, Antonia.
I haven't been in this meeting for 4 years, so it's very special to be here. I used to come here in my early recovery, and I feel very privileged to be here. And I'm just over 5 years clean, and if somebody told me that, I would not think it's ever going to happen. I'm 37, and I'm from Croatia. And I have many, many addictions. Apart from being an addict, I'm also an alcoholic and I'm a bulimic. And addicted to everything and anything. And it started very early with me. It started with food, and then I discovered alcohol when I was age of 12. I was very unhappy in Croatia, ashamed of my family. I come from a very poor family. I was embarrassed. I wanted to have a better life. My parents couldn't afford stuff I wanted to, so I resented them. And I found escape in alcohol, and then pot came along. Never liked pot, but still it was available, so I would get off my head. And then by the age of 15, I discovered cocaine, and it was very difficult to get hold of it, so I had to do what I had to do to get hold of it. But that was my drug of choice, and it was very expensive, and, you know, I could get... All the guys were actually supplying it in Croatia. Guys pay for everything, and it was just how it was. And it was, you know, that kind of mentality. And sleeping around, going out, not studying. Then war happened in Croatia, which I used as an excuse to use more, to do what I wanted. I moved over here when I was 19 to get away from my parents so I can use more and do what I wanted. Started working in restaurants and clubs, but it wasn't enough. So I got involved with a drug dealer, and my addiction just spiraled out of control. So I had to do what I, you know, got a job in a club, selling myself to support my addiction. And I finished high school, and I was not interested in any education. All I wanted to be off my head, party all the time, and that this was my life, working in a club at nighttime, getting off my head, partying all day long, and then going back. In the meantime, I developed bulimia, so I was throwing up. In the meantime, taking cocaine to stop me from binging, and alcohol was the worst. I don't remember at least 5 or 6 years of my life, I was in a black hole, waking up in a police stations. Aggressive, bruised, naked. How did I get this? Waking up in a strange bed. And then I decided to stop drinking 10 years ago. And I didn't know that I was taking any kind of pills as well that I could get hold of. But cocaine was my main thing. But as I stopped drinking and stopped drugging for about a few weeks, I detoxed myself of alcohol. I realized how life is boring. So I just started snorting cocaine, and that went on for 7 years. So you can imagine how crazy I was just on coke with no alcohol. And it was it was horrendous. It was just awful what I can remember of. I would get so high, I couldn't move, paranoid. Then it would take Valium to calm down. I tried crack, made me throw up, and it didn't work for me. Tried heroin, didn't work for me. And it was just... And I thought it was glamorous, I thought I'm cool, and the reality was I ended up homeless with no shoes, and a friend of mine who used to live with me came to my hostel, and she asked me, like, don't you have any clean towels? I was so paranoid to go to laundrette downstairs in a hostel. I was washing my towels in a sink. It was horrendous. I barely washed myself, and... I was dying. I overdosed twice, but I came back. And I realized kind of that I have a problem with food, but I stopped drinking, but I didn't realize that I have a problem with cocaine. I did not want to let go. So by age of 31, I was getting fed up. I wanted to get clean, and I went to see a doctor who told me that she tried to send me to the hospitals, to the mental institution, but they said, you know, I'm okay, I'm not underweight, I'm not anorexic, they can't help me. And then they sent somebody in St. Mary's Hospital in Paddington, and I was told that I need to stop using drugs. And that came as a total shock, because I thought cocaine was the best stuff ever. and I didn't think that it got to me. And so I was sent to the Blenheim Project when I was told that I'm multi-addicted, that I have so many addictions, and I need to go to rehab. In the meantime, I was introduced to NA. I've been to AA before, but I ran away. I've been to CA, and even though I'm cocaine addict and alcoholic, I could not connect for some reason. But in NA, I felt at home. I felt, oh, this is great. I want to be here. I would go to the daytime meeting. By the nighttime, I was using. I could not stop using. So when I was told that I need to go to the rehab, I was like, what? Rehab? No, 28 days maximum. They said minimum 6 months. Anyway, I wanted to go to Priory, but of course it was, I was homeless. Nobody wanted to fund me. Nobody wanted to take me because of my eating disorder. And I was just glad to get funding. And the first opportunity that I got accepted to the rehab, I went to Western Supermare, it saved my life. And it was a friend from Western Supermare, Johnny Barnett. I don't know if you know him. He told me to say, he said, everybody knows me. You need to say, I carried the message in your rehab, so I'm passing the message on, yes. When I was, he carried the message of NA, and I was looking forward to that. We were locked in. We were not allowed to go out. We had no phone. One Friday we had AA meeting, one Friday NA, and I lived for those meetings. Then I moved on to secondary, and I got really boring in Western Supermare, so I decided to come back to London. Same people, same share. So in London, I had an agenda. I wanted to go back to my old job, and I was living in a rehab, and at nighttime I was in a hostess club where I was holding a glass of champagne every night, pretending I'm drinking, and then I would go at the nighttime to rehab to be tested, and I was so paranoid that even though I didn't want to use, I was just in that environment for about 8 months, and I was crazy. I could not get a sponsor because I could not get honest with anyone. I was telling them I was babysitting. Of course, they knew what I was up to, but they just didn't want to say nothing. They just wanted me to stay clean. So in my early recovery, I met my partner in the rooms, and we used to come here as a date on Friday night. So that's how exciting it was to come to the speakers meeting and then go for coffee. He's here. I told him, I'm going to be honest tonight, so if you can't handle it, don't come along. So, we had an NA baby, we had a child, she's 3 years old now, and everything was going fine until my partner picked up, and he was lying that he's clean, and he overdosed and flooded the flat, and then he came clean. I had to move out. I had my own place, but it was, and then he went to, as he started using, my bulimia came back, and it was just mess. And it was also, I was using it as an excuse. But I managed to stay clean, no matter what, but I had to be away from that because it was setting me off as well. You're trying so hard to stay clean, and then your partner is using and is lying. And it was really hard. But when you love somebody, and it's an addiction, but I could not understand. I wanted everybody to be clean, and when I was in early recovery, when I stayed pregnant, they told me, if you ever use, we're going to take your child away. So there and there, I kind of made a decision just for today, I'm not going to use, because I wanted to be a mom, and I wanted to have a different life. And I stayed in rehab to get housed, but I didn't, because I'm an addict, I want everything. What is in there for me? I didn't get housed. They made me homeless. I was pregnant, but I stayed clean, and all I could do for 3 or 4 years was going to the meetings. I dragged my daughter everywhere with me. So my friends, I live in Westminster, so they would say, Antonia and Lisa, you always drag. I said, but where am I going to take her? And they make me really comfortable. 10 o'clock meetings with crash, without, we were always welcome everywhere, and everybody, people would come and help, and it was just wonderful. And if it wasn't for NA, I would be certainly dead. They gave me everything. Today I had a very hard day. My uncle has died in Croatia from heart attack. His wife, my mom's sister, was diagnosed with cancer, and he just died in his sleep. But today I can be here for my family. I can support them on the phone. Our daughter is in Croatia with my mom, and dad is kind of, thank you, making amends to them, and just acknowledging what I've done to my... I've been very lucky. My family supported me through my addiction. Well, they haven't seen it. I mean, they've heard it over the phone when I was abusing people, calling, being, you know, when you wake up, you don't know what you've done. But as a result of NA, today I just passed my exam. I'm now a qualified personal trainer. I've been accepted to college 2 years ago, but couldn't attend. They couldn't give crash to my daughter, but I waited. I was patient, meetings, and I just graduated today. And looks like I had a phone call that I'm accepted to another college. I also enrolled in September to do more courses, and it's just wonderful to get an education, do an honest job, something I've never done. And to be a mom, to be a member of society, I know what's going on. I don't need to be ashamed of anything. And it's all down to NA. So for all the newcomers, please come back. I came coming back. I wasn't honest. My life didn't change overnight, but I've keep coming back. But my recovery, honestly, it started when I got honest and when I started working the steps. I just finished step 8. I've done it AA, but NA, it's more in-depth. And making amends is the most amazing thing, and just living there one day, clean at the time. It's so good to be here, and I love NA, and God bless you all. Thank you.